Hi, and welcome to Sustainability Bites, the podcast supported by Schroeterlein Partners. My name is Margot Plourien, and today I have the pleasure to welcome my colleague, Jack Templeton. We are celebrating this month's Pride Month, and talking about Pride, we really wanted to push it forward for this particular occasion. Today, we are going to talk about inclusive communication and how we can make a difference, not only in June, but every day of the year. Thank you, Jack, for joining us. So could you briefly introduce yourself to the people that don't know you yet?
My name is Jack Templeton. I'm a junior here at Schroeterlein Partners. I follow the life sciences and health dossier, but I also have a really keen interest in diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yeah, that's great to have you here because you do actually have some first-hand experience in DEI. So thank you for joining us. If we can start with the basics, because we are talking about inclusive communication, but that might not be super clear to all of our listeners today. I was wondering if you could elaborate on what inclusive communication means to you and what do you think it's an important topic?
Yeah, of course. Maybe some useful context as well. I myself am a member of the LGBTQ+ community, and every year Pride Month comes around, we see a lot of companies changing to rainbow logos, for example, but oftentimes don't really follow through with their actions. I think inclusive communication is a really easy but key step to helping build a more respectful and open environment, whether that's at work or at home or anywhere in between. I think this has really become much more noticeable since I started working in communications, and I can clearly see how stronger DEI strategies are reflected across the whole company, whether it's through materials and products, as well as year-round and not just for Pride Month. Inclusive communications means to me specifically using language of any kind that's without assumption or stereotype. Whether it's something that we're conscious of or not, gender identity and sexual orientation are important parts of who we are and how we interact with the world and those around us. So having a really strong DEI foundation is vital.
Yes, completely. And I think you put it very clearly, which like inclusive communication is kind of the tip of the iceberg of like a longer commitment, a stronger strategy, and not like we're not starting with like putting pronouns in signature, but it's more the full reflection that's behind it, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's these small incremental steps that can really help build up a broader DEI plan that can affect all your employees company-wide, again, not just for the month of June, but year-round.
Continuing on this metaphor of the iceberg, because every time when we're talking about Pride Month, we like the first image that comes to mind is the celebration, the Pride parades, the rainbow colors, the techno parties. However, we should not forget that this is also about human rights. And across Europe, we're seeing increasing hate crimes and rates of discrimination as per the latest ILGA Europe report this year. The Stonewall riots, which are often used as the starting point for Pride and queer liberation, were 54 years ago, and the world has changed incredibly in that time. We have made a lot of progress. However, Pride Month is now both a celebration and still a protest for those Romanian rights. This is still an issue that we need to resolve. And I know that you are following this very closely.
Yeah, of course. So the ILGA Europe report is a really interesting read. It's an annual report on the state of affairs of the LGBT community and their human rights across European countries, not just specifically within the EU. As a part of this, it also releases a rainbow map, which is a very nice visual to see which countries score better, which countries have room for improvement, shall we say. It goes through several criteria. I believe there's over 70 to actually quantify the human rights levels across these countries. From this and from the rainbow map, we can also see there's a surprisingly large disparity across Europe. And indeed, that means that there's a lot more work to be done. Linking more to my specific background in health, we can see that the LGBTQ+ community has higher levels of mental ill health in relation to experiencing things like stigma, social isolation, homophobia, transphobia, and exclusion, for example. Of course, the EU's also recently released the new pharmaceutical strategy, which has been long awaited. But we can also see that people who experience discrimination can take longer time to seek medical help, which reduces their access to this care that they need, which is one of the key targets for improvement in the new pharmaceutical strategy. Further, this also leads to higher rates of serious illness, such as cancer and other poor health outcomes for the community.
Yes, so it's like it's truly about human rights and like the health of our society. And like we always say that we are the agency for a healthy world, and that also comes with like creating this kind of supportive, welcoming environment.
We can really see from the statistics in our work here at Schroeterlein as a communications consultant as well that health and LGBTQ+ rights are really intersectional. You can see that when there's limitations on one, there's limitations on the other, and it's very
It's very preeminent. No, completely. I totally agree with you. And on the other sense, it's like what we were discussing before is at the opposite, you have so much to gain by having diverse team and welcoming environments, because we do see that with diverse teams, wherever in terms of race, gender, or sexual and orientation, we result in organizations that are more robust and successful. But we also see a lot of organizations changing their logos to a rainbow during Pride and then immediately revert back to regular branding immediately after. So that's also something we need to work on. And it's actually quite easy to make some change that are implemented all year round. Do you have some example for us of like what our listener can probably like bring to their organization and propose to the next team meeting?
Yeah, there's loads of really simple, small, quick fixes you can take. For example, I know on LinkedIn you can introduce your pronouns onto your profile. You can also get an email signatures, for example, which I know is very commonplace now as well, which is nice to see. For things like events or event registration as well, it's important to be inclusive on things like your prefixes. So not just to include Mr. or Mrs., but you can include MX. You can leave an open box for people to put in their chosen pronouns as well. Similarly, when you're speaking at events, it's important to use inclusive verbal language as well. And so rather than saying, welcome guys, or hey guys, you could say, hi everyone, welcome everyone, and just sort of these small, really things that you wouldn't necessarily think are big, smaller
Important, but
changes.
like they create this environment, right? Like that's really this.
Yeah, exactly. It's these small building blocks that add up and make a more inclusive environment to start with. There are, of course, longer term strategies that companies should also maybe take care of. Be an active ally, for example, educate yourself on really what the issues are currently in the LGBT community and how you can be that supportive ally to your colleagues, to your friends, etc. Ensure DEI policy is up to date as well. I think that's a really important one to look at, because as times have changed since DEI was first introduced, as to should your DEI policy. And finally, as well, I think it's important to provide training to your teams, to your managers as well, to make sure that they are aware of all these things that they can be doing to improve the work environment or anywhere else that they might have influence.
Yeah, no, that's completely true. And I also think like outside of the training and like the action you can implement, there is also whenever you introduce change to like monitor it and check that you're still on track. And also to have like a strong complaining not complaining system, but like whenever you have discrimination that it's possible for people to report it anonymously and to have action being made. All of these do contribute to create this environment that we're talking about, like just installing like little step by little step, the idea that everybody is accepted, right?
Yeah, so it's really important to have these small building blocks that really add up to a bigger picture together that create an inclusive environment, whether it's your workplace or an event, definitely.
Yes, and I think at Swettenline Partners as a communication agency, we have like a unique position because not only we're trying to implement DEI within the organization and to become better at it, we're also helping a wide variety of clients across academia, government, and industry to promote inclusivity in their own workplace or in their communication, whether it is through inclusive events, communication strategy, or public affair. We see a lot of requests coming in, especially recently. Could you let me know? Because as yourself a junior consultant, you do work with quite a bit of clients in the pharma industry. What are some of the requests that you receive and what's some of the feedback that you can give them?
Yeah, we're really seeing a big drive over the last period of time. People aren't really looking just for a job with a nice salary that will keep them comfortable anymore. They're really looking for, because we spend a lot of our times obviously working, they're looking for a company that's inclusive and modern and progressive. It really has those extra building blocks that we talked about before. And so what we're seeing is this really creates a gap between different organizations, those who are more inclusive compared to those who have yet to catch up. But of course, there's no time like the present to really actually start your DEI policy. We see the same not just from the pharmaceutical industry, but with our other clients, such as local government and academia. And again, that's mirrored in those who are applying for university or working in government. They really are. There is a big drive for this right now. We see as well that there's regular reports and statistics released about DEI, all with the same clear conclusion. Diverse teams do better, both for the company and for the staff. The more diverse a company is, the more they outperform other companies on things like innovation, adaptability, and importantly for some, profitability. This obviously also includes things like gender diversity and ethnicity. On the other hand, as well, we can see that in companies with strong DEI policies, employees are more trustworthy, engaged, and make better decisions in the companies that have higher levels of diversity within them and more robust policy.
Yeah, so organizations actually have everything to gain by, as you said, like there is no better time than the present to like have a stronger DEI strategy, discuss with your teams, discuss with your management, and like see how you can improve and look forward. Thank you so much, Jack, for today, and happy Pride Month. I hope to see you soon. And for the people who are listening to this podcast, this is just but an episode that we have on the topic. We already had an episode on gender equality for the 8th of March. And as mentioned during this podcast, we're aiming at implementing DEI and supporting equality, not only in June, but every month of the year. So please stay tuned and see you soon.